Joining us on the line to discuss is Bronwyn Hemsley, Professor of Speech Pathology at the University of Sydney. Bronwyn, good morning.
Hello, I'm actually at the University of Technology, Sydney.
My mistake.
Just down the road, but thank you very much for talking about this really important issue. It's really great to have a chance to explain some of this because Stephen Hawking was so famous, and sadly his death has really made a big impact on this field.
Absolutely. I think when we look at this one, and I must admit I'm approaching this from a place of complete ignorance, but I think I would have assumed that the kind of technology we're talking about, this communication technology we're talking about, would have been quite accessible today as compared to back when Stephen Hawking was first beginning to suffer the effects of motor neuron disease. But it doesn't sound like that's actually the case. Can you tell us a little bit more about the technology and how there are barriers to its accessibility?
Well, sure. Now, augmentative and alternative communication is a bit of a mouthful, so I'll use the acronym, if you like, AAC, and that's what people use to just cut it down. But AAC has been in development for many decades now, and back when Stephen got his first speech-generating device, that was in the mid-80s, and yes, in Australia we did then have access to these systems. They're very different to what they are now. For example, there was a small square device that you typed in to and a little piece of paper came out of it with the letters typed onto it. So that was what it was a bit like for people back in the mid-80s. In the 90s, it was more then, okay, we'll get speech-generating sounds coming out of the systems, and so people began to have a voice and have a say, not just with using communication boards and books and other printed methods of communicating, but now they could speak across a distance and use their voice in a group or on the telephone. And so the march forward in technology has really meant, okay, how can we have improved voice sounds coming out of the device? How can we make it sound more natural? And onwards to have people having an accent. So the day that the devices also had an Australian accent was a really important one for Australians who don't have speech. So all of these small steps in technology which are helping all of us in terms of communication and using computers are really coming forward all the time. So that's really exciting. However, there's still a long way to go before we make it accessible to all people who need it, and also before we make it where using a system like this, like the one Stephen used, is much faster for people so that they can take part in a conversation without people waiting a long time for them to compose the message. Because really, by the time they've composed it, oftentimes the conversation has moved on.
I think certainly a lot of us here in the radio industry could appreciate the need for somebody to be able to speak in their own voice, to have a voice that is central to them and central to their identity. So those kind of changes that you mentioned there, they really do sound like a very positive sort of movement. Apparently, the Australian Bureau of Statistics estimates as many as 1.2 million Australians have a communication disability.
Yeah.
So looking at the right of people to communicate within their own sort of individual voice, how far off are we? How far off are we in terms of getting all 1.2 million Australians access?
It's really going to have to ramp up in terms of people's awareness and access to the proper assessment and treatment, if you like, interventions or support for actually communicating if they're not able to speak. So of those 1.2 million, of those people who have a communication disability in Australia, about a third of those have a severe or profound communication disability, which means they cannot rely on speech by itself to get their message across. And we know from the same Australian Bureau of Statistics estimates now that only about 3% of those people currently have access to either a paper version of a communication board or a high-technology communication aid similar to the one Stephen uses. And there's a whole range of those, all different types, depending on the person's age, what they need to communicate, how they can actually use the system with their hands, or like Stephen with a small muscle in his cheek, or do they need eye gaze technologies to control the device, or another type of switch if they can't use their hands. So I think it's really going to have to come down to more funding, not only for the device, that's through funding schemes like the National Disability Insurance Scheme, but also funding for people to assess this properly so that they get the correct equipment for their needs. So they need access to speech pathology, to occupational therapy, rehabilitation engineers, and so on. And they also need training once they have the device as to how they use it. So nowadays, these systems can do a lot more than talk. They can also access the internet. They can put the person to communicating on social media. And so they're really important also that they can help control the person's environment so that they can turn the lights on and off without relying on another person. They can call for help and attention if the other person's out of the room, for example. So it really does require a systems approach to how can we get more than those 97% of people, the vast majority of people who need it, having more access to it.
Absolutely. Bronwyn, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us this morning and chatting to us about this issue.
Thank you.